Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Good to be back. Field Yates here with Matthew Berry and Mike Clay here, as well as also Daniel Dopp is here. If the camera were on him right now, he would be reaching into his bag to grab an iPad. There you are, Daniel. How are you, friend?
Hey, buddy. I'm good. How are you? It's good to have you back. I appreciate you. I don't know what you did yesterday.
You know what's weird is I got so, for those that aren't familiar, amongst the many people that are involved in management of this podcast are Scott Clark, right? The great Scott Clark, who's the insider for the War Room League.
Yep.
And so he sent me an
email. The reason I got Scott Clark
correct.
is a verb?
It's a thing. It's a phrase.
Is it a verb, an adjective? I think it's a verb.
You got Scott
Clark. He Scott Clarked me.
Yeah.
You got verbed.
Yeah. I think it's a verb.
It's a verb.
It's definitely a verb.
Any event, I get home yesterday and I open up my email.
Yep.
And I have a note from Scott Clark.
Sure.
And there's no title. There's no subject, which is always a little bit alarming, right? Like no subject. Like this probably can't be good.
Right.
And I open it up and it's just a picture of Wally Pipp. That's it.
Ha!
Now, are you familiar with Wally Pipp?
Yes, of course.
Okay, sorry.
He's a contemporary of mine.
Obviously.
Yes!
Obviously.
For those who don't know, Wally Pipp, of course.
Wally Pipp was a starting first baseman for the New York Yankees. And he got sick one day.
Right.
And then Lou Gehrig started in his place. And, of course, Lou Gehrig then set the record for consecutive games played until Cal Ripken, obviously, ended up breaking it many, many years later. But, like, Wally Pipp never got his job back.
One day off the job, and next thing you know, he's gone forever. So I'm not sure what Scott was suggesting with that email, but I'm back just maybe for today. Tune in tomorrow to see whether or not Daniel is back in this seat.
Yeah.
We've got a
lot to... Or me, please. Listen, like there's a chance I leave every single day. Make no mistake. I try to podcast like every day is my last.
Yes. Wow. Well done. Well done, right?
Leave it all out there on the cutting room floor.
There was a college football team that had last play across the back of their helmets, like last podcast. Shout out Part of My Take for that reference there. So let's get into a couple pieces of news before we get to some rankings talk, because it is, of course, middle of week one, which means we'll dive into ranks for the next 5 days, if you include today as one day. Plus, we're going to plant our flags on some players later on in the show, some bold calls, some things that we feel, I'm not so sure I would say strongly about, but we have an inkling on, and we would not be surprised if those things took place. We'll begin with some news. Le'Veon Bell has signed with the Baltimore Ravens. Practice squad, Matthew.
Yeah.
Quite a fall a few years ago. Certainly a little bit of a different standing in the NFL compared to, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when he literally skipped the season because he was trying to sign a record-setting running back contract. He eventually got a very, very lucrative deal, but he planned to be a fixture in the NFL for a long time. He's now on the Ravens practice squad. It sounds like there's a chance he'll eventually be elevated to the 53-man roster. This comes on the heels of the team losing another running back, Justice Hill, to a torn Achilles. He's out for the year. Is there anything of note here, Matthew, other than the name?
You tell me, and Mike, I'm curious if you disagree here, but my take on this is that I feel like, and I don't, no disrespect intended here, but I feel like at this point in his career, Le'Veon Bell is sort of washed, and that I feel like, you know, that this is much more of a depth signing for the Ravens than it is any sort of fantasy impact. I still, like, if I'm drafting tonight, and we are drafting, you and I are in a league together tonight with War Room League draft tonight, Gus Edwards would be the Ravens running back that I would draft first. I would draft Tyson Williams next. I would not draft Le'Veon Bell. Like, we're in a 16-team league draft tonight, and I don't think Le'Veon Bell should be drafted tonight.
I'd be surprised if he were drafted tonight.
And if he's a threat to anyone, I suppose Tyson Williams, who we haven't seen in prime time, as it were, if maybe he falters a little bit. But I wonder, Field, that if they had waited 2 days to sign Le'Veon Bell, if they might have said, like, oh, wait, Latavius Murray's available?
Yeah, and we'll get to that in just a moment.
I feel like this was just, we need a guy.
Possible. I wouldn't be surprised, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think they're done at running back, is my instinct, that they could sign other players, which is why right now there is zero fantasy significance other than the fact that it's a really well-known name. So, Mike, rather than sort of continuing to beat the same point into the ground on Le'Veon Bell, let's ask you first about Latavius Murray, who Adam Schefter...
Unless you have a different opinion on Le'Veon Bell.
You got it right. He's a practice squad running back. He lost his gig to Darrell Williams last year. You don't need him on your rosters right now.
All right, so let's get to Latavius Murray then, Mike, who... This was not a major surprise if you've been following Saints camp closely. However, Latavius Murray...
You weren't here yesterday, but we talked about Tony Jones yesterday. We preferred him to Latavius Murray if you were drafting Alvin Kamara's insurance, and we thought there was some standalone value to Tony Jones in 12-team leagues or deeper. And then the Saints, you know, many hours later, basically, you know, underlined that point.
So they have cut Latavius Murray. Part of this was financially driven. Also, the fact that Tony Jones looked good this preseason. So, Mike, what's the fantasy fallout of Latavius Murray being released in New Orleans?
I think Tony Jones just slots right in there to that same role, right? I mean, you have Dwayne Washington, who's a number three running back, and he doesn't really get much work on offense, more of a special teamer. So there's a path here for maybe some non-PPR standalone value for Tony Jones Jr. Maybe he gets 10 to 12 carries, some goal line work, maybe one or two targets per game. So there is some appeal. If you had Murray on your bench, whether it was insurance for Kamara or just a late round running back you wanted to keep stashed, just drop Murray, pick up Tony Jones, and see how it plays out. But nothing more than that. I've had a lot of questions. Should I drop player X for this guy? And usually they're guys drafted in the like 9th, 10th, 11th round. The answer is almost always going to be no. He's just a bench stash.
Matthew, anything else to add on Latavius Murray being dropped by the Saints and whether he needs to be dropped if you've already drafted him in fantasy leagues? Or would you hold tight? Because you mentioned Baltimore. Like, I think it's too logical for them to not place a call to Latavius Murray. And don't you think of the available running backs right now? And there's not much. I mean, Le'Veon Bell got a job yesterday after basically no interest all offseason. Devontae Freeman also working out for the Ravens. Trenton Cannon working out for the Ravens. Don't you feel like Latavius Murray is one call away from maybe being useful somewhere else?
He is. You know, the question becomes, like, what's the best possible situation? Like, even if he goes to Baltimore, to me, the best possible situation for Latavius Murray, I'm not sure it exists out there. I feel like wherever Latavius Murray signs is going to be more about hurting the fantasy value of somebody else, because we like Latavius Murray. We think he's a good player. And so, you know, I mean, like, if he signed with the Patriots, you'd suddenly be like, oh boy. You know, if he signed with the Rams, you'd suddenly be like, if he was yet another guy with the 49ers, you'd be like, okay. You know what I mean? I mean, like, you sort of work through some of the, I'm just trying to think of, like, what's a running back needy team like Philadelphia? Could he go to Philadelphia? I mean, like, I'm trying to think of, like, where.
So let me give wherever, you
where do you think he could land that would be great for Latavius Murray's fantasy value?
Probably nowhere. The closest I think he could get would be either Baltimore or Arizona, only because I'm still not totally sold in the Arizona backfield. But I think the scenario that I'm sort of examining here, Matthew,
I'll throw one out that, I mean, it just would be sort of interesting, would be maybe the Chargers. I don't know how the Chargers feel about the depth behind Austin Eckler, you know, and there's been talk about whether Eckler will get the goal line work or not. I believe he will, obviously. He's my ride or die, but you know, there's like, well, maybe it'll be Larry Roundtree or you know, Justin Jackson or something like that. You could see Latavius Murray maybe there. I'm throwing it out there. This is all
a reunion,
off the top of my head.
Joe Lombardi, their new offensive coordinator. So I think the scenario that I'm more mindful of is not if he signs somewhere right now, is that if something happened to a player in week one that created the need elsewhere, I think Latavius Murray would be near teams' preferred running back targets list.
I think he would have to be. I mean, again, right, to your point, Le'Veon Bell, Trenton Cannon, like Todd Gurley's gotten some looks. So I would agree with that statement. But to your point, I don't know that I would, quote, hang on to Latavius Murray to see if he found somebody. We talked yesterday on the show, Field, about guys that were undrafted in over 50% of ESPN leagues. And so there's a lot I would certainly prefer if you're in a league where you can make pickups. You've drafted, you've got Murray on your team, you've drafted prior to Sunday, you know, grabbing a, I'd prefer to drop him for Tony Jones. I would drop him for, you know, Justin Fields or Trey Lance that we've talked about, right? Sure. Like I would drop him for Marquez Callaway or Jacoby Myers or some of the guys that are like basically around 50%
Mooney.
Basically around 50% rostered. So, yes, I don't think there's any reason to hang on to Latavius Murray hoping he signs somewhere fantasy relevant, because I think he's going to be more a drain on somebody else's fantasy value than have standalone value to himself.
Let's just keep this, name in mind in case potentially Latavius Murray signs by like the end of this week, right? Like that would not surprise me either. So perhaps we'll have an update later on in the week on Latavius Murray. Time now for our ranks. And of course, every single week we do our rankings. They usually go up on Tuesday in the early afternoon time slot. They are certainly helped by Mike's incredible projections. We've got six rankers in total. And what we try to do each week is think through notable rankings conversations. And we're going to start with quarterbacks and then running backs. And, you know, quarterbacks are for the most part what you'd expect this week. You're going to start your studs. You're going to start the guy you probably drafted in most cases, because many of you are drafting just one quarterback. But if there is a quarterback who might be ranked lower than where you drafted him, probably Justin Herbert against the Washington football team. So, Mike, we'll start with you. Of course, you do our rankings projections. Your thoughts on the potential struggles for Justin Herbert this week against that very, very stout Washington defense.
Right, and it's all about the matchup here, right? Don't tell Matthew, but the Washington defense, really good. It was really good last season, actually. Yeah. They were among the best three defenses in terms of passing yards allowed to quarterbacks and, of course, fantasy points allowed to the position. And I'd say they got better, right? That young front four, their defensive line is 1 year older. They had Davis at linebacker. And of course, they had William Jackson, who's arguably a top 10 or 12 cornerback in the NFL at that corner spot to go along with Kendall Fuller. So really like the defense. They're traveling from Los Angeles all the way to Washington for this week one game. It's going to be tough for sure. So look, I know Justin Herbert is fantastic, but also keep this in mind. This is a new scheme for this offense. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because last year's Chargers offense, one of the highest volume offenses we have seen in the NFL over the past decade. Very fast paced, a ton of plays. It's not going to be the same this season. So he's downgraded more of a borderline QB1. And guys, I think usually you're going to still have to start him, right? If you drafted him as your QB1, he's probably your best option. But if you have two good options and you could stream somebody, this is the week to do it.
Yeah, it's a 1 o'clock start on Sunday as well, as you mentioned, the traveling, you know, so it's a West Coast team traveling east for a 1 o'clock game. And it's a rebuilt offensive line, which we think is going to be a strength of the Chargers this year, but it's also their first game playing together, and as we talked about, like, listen, it's their first game going up against, Chase Young and company. So, look, I have Justin Herbert at QB12. I'm the lowest among us on the ranks here. So, right, I'm as a borderline QB1 in a 12-team league. I'm outside my top 10 in a standard ESPN league. I think to the extent Justin Herbert could struggle, I think he struggles in this matchup.
So the question then becomes, as Mike mentioned, like, if you have two good options, is there a name that comes to mind? And I'll ask you first. I'll give both of you an option. Is there a name that comes to mind as not only is he a good streaming option, but I actually have him inside my top 10 this week?
No, I mean, like,
I think that's the problem, is that, like, Justin Herbert's still right on the border, and there's nobody this week you're like, oh my gosh, like, I'm just making this up here. Joe Burrow is playing, heck, the Bengals, which I know is not possible, but the point is they have a bad defense, right? They're like, you're like, I think Joe Burrow's going to have a massive week this week. I don't know that there is somebody that I'd rather start over Justin Herbert that's likely readily available.
Yeah, it'd have to be like Brady, Tannehill, Stafford sort of level, but did people actually draft Herbert and then two rounds later draft one of those guys?
Probably not, right?
Yeah. But so like, just to your point, like, so Garoppolo plays the Lions.
You starting over Justin Herbert?
No, of course not. That's my point. Like, I mean, that's as good a matchup as you're going to get, okay, right? And that's a guy that's available in every league, basically. And so that's my point is that, like, I have Herbert at 12. I'm the lowest on him among the rankers, and I would not drop Latavius Murray to pick up Jimmy Garoppolo to stream him against the Lions. I'd rather just roll with Herbert. So, I mean, right, you're not doing – I mean, to me, like, that's the best – streaming option. Kirk Cousins plays the Bengals. Kirk Cousins is an interest. He's out there in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
Like, that's a borderline call right there.
That one actually kind of intrigues me.
Right.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm like, I don't have this dilemma right now. I have one league left to draft. I don't think I'll be, do I have Herbert in my leagues right now? I might.
Right.
I'm not, but that one is sort of intriguing because the Bengals are going to be without Trey Waynes as well on Sunday.
Yeah.
Eli Apple stepping into a starting role.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I have Herbert in one league. I'm starting him.
Okay.
For whatever it's worth. Like, we're lowering expectations for him. Still have him at QB 12. Like, I think there's a tendency sometimes to tinker, and it's still week one. We don't know what this offense is going to look like.
I agree. That's what I was just going to say. With where you drafted him in the first round, you probably didn't draft a quarterback behind him that you want to start more this week. I do want to say really quickly before we move on to running backs, Matthew, I think what you're wearing today is a t-shirt one, in my opinion.
Thank you. Yes.
And I think this is actually the first day that I prefer your getup over Fields. Wow. You look great today, Matthew.
Thank you.
Barry.
I appreciate that.
So he's got a shirt on that says, I like margaritas and maybe three people.
Maybe.
So, maybe. Okay.
I think maybe is the key word in this whole t-shirt.
Three, then. Let's try to get to three.
Sure.
Three people you like.
Well, it changes every day.
Okay, right now. Yeah. Presently.
There's three people in this room. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. Yeah, none of them are in this room at the moment.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. It's probably, let's see, it's probably...
Bruce Allen.
Yes. No, it's you know, it's...
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It's my wife. It's Chase Young. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick and Austin Eckler.
Yes.
Yeah, those are the three people I like.
Those are the three. That's it.
No, it's true. Listen, this is bought for me by a friend of mine, by a good friend of mine, who's my friend Brian. So Brian's got to be one of the three. Yeah, this is an accurate shirt. What can I tell you?
I love it.
Like,
I think it's great.
Like, you know, ain't lying if it's
Daniel
true.
Daniel with a great t-shirt as well. Great t-shirt
on
today.
What's Daniel's shirt?
It's Holmes. Holmes, it's a
brewery out in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Back home
oh,
in
nice.
The
great
spot. Shout out to the people, soaker. The homies from Holmes. They're the
That's
best.
Right.
Al is the man, anyway. Big supporter of the fantasy.
Yeah, no, but they gave me this as a gift, and I'm like, they gave this to me yesterday. I'm like, oh my God, that's the greatest shirt I've ever seen.
That's perfect.
I'm wearing that tomorrow. And that's immediately going into the rotation.
I love it.
Because it's true. Because you guys, you know, like it takes me a while to warm up to people.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you wear that shirt, you have to decide who your three people are for the day. So that's the assignment you have. Let's move to running
backs.
Well,
my wife, I will say this. My wife and I joke all the time. My wife and I have five kids. You know, as you guys know, we have five kids. And we always say we have three too many.
Yes.
It depends on the day which three.
Yes.
I like it.
There was a guy, I drove behind a guy today with a license plate, TMR90. I was wondering if that was you or one of your kids this morning. Probably not, though.
Probably not.
Okay, let's
Probably
move forward
not.
Here to the running backs. And
But I like it. I appreciate the suggestion and the shout out.
It's a big fan. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Your initials and your age. Interesting how they came together.
Right.
The most obvious surprise when looking at the running back rankings this week is that Saquon Barkley is not inside our top 10. Everyone has him outside the top 10. Still a starter because he cracks the top 20, but someone you should maybe temper expectations on. Mike, a few days ago on the show, Stefania said if Saquon Barkley does play, I'll have to go dig up the tape, so to speak, but she was sort of wary of the possibility of a pitch count.
Mm-hmm.
How much does that scare you for week one, and do you feel like you have no other option but to play Saquon Barkley if you drafted him? Because you probably use a top pick on him.
Yeah, so I have him projected at 15 touches, which is lower than you would normally expect. This has been the expectation pretty much all offseason, right? That he would perhaps play in week one, week two, and be limited in some capacity. So I have him around 15 touches. I was on Jordan Renan's podcast recently. He covers the team for us here at ESPN, and he agreed with that assessment that that's probably the range he's looking at. So expect a little more Devontae Booker, probably not enough to be fantasy relevant, but I think about 15 touches for Barkley is what we're looking at. And for me, that places him as an RB2, right? The guy's super talented. They're going up against a very good Denver defense, but one whose strength is really their secondary, right? So that could lead the Giants to try to run the football a little extra. Maybe that gets Barkley an extra touch or two. But nonetheless, you know, if you play DFS, maybe stay away this week at his price point. If you're playing in season long, you're right. You still spend a first or maybe early second round pick on Barkley. You're probably still going to use him. He's probably going to be one of your top two running backs, but lower expectations in the short term with the hope that that'll pay off for us down the stretch. That's really been the goal with Barkley the whole draft process.
Yeah, Matthew, two thoughts here. Is one that there are maybe just two players that come to mind when thinking about Saquon Barkley is him and Zeke. It's a long year, my friends.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a lot of people to be very frustrated on Friday morning because of a pedestrian outcome for Zeke Elliott against an amazing Bucs defense.
Sure.
And possibly the same thing for Saquon, even though Mike mentioned like the strength of the Denver defense is stopping the pass. They're good enough, and he might be limited enough. You're going to wake up on Monday being like, did I waste a first-round pick on this guy?
And
long season.
Yeah, and that offensive line is bad enough with the Giants that, you know, they may struggle. And the other thing that's worth noting, obviously, we've talked about this before with Saquon. Stefania mentioned this yesterday once again. Thursday night, next week, the Giants play on Thursday. So short turnaround for the Giants on Thursday night. So certainly don't want to, overexert Saquon, I guess. You know, they want to ease him back in off of the injury. The concern here, but I said this yesterday, Field, you weren't here. Mike, you weren't either. But like I said, if you're not starting Saquon Barkley in week one, you've made a massive mistake with your drafting. Like, right. Again, I was, Mike and I had this conversation here in the podcast. I am much lower on Saquon than Mike is. Mike was much more bullish coming into the season. I was much lower. I have concerns. I know Stefania does as well. Field, you were someone in the middle. But if you bought the dip, if you were in on Saquon, then and you're not going to start him week one, like then that means you made a massive mistake with your first round pick.
Yeah,
we agree. Lower expectations, but if you have him, you are still starting him. Having said that, I ranked him 20th. I ranked him 20th, but again, like you guys know how I feel about Saquon this year, at least certainly early on.
I've got him at 18, so we're all kind of in that same low-end RB2 range. We'll come back and talk more running backs in just a moment, but did you know that Tony Romo is a motivational speaker right now?
I did know that, actually. All this football season,
Tony and Corona are remotivating football fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at RomoMotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, you can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit RomoMotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now is the time to celebrate.
Woo-hoo.
What are we celebrating? The NFL is finally back. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, has millions of reasons why you should be excited. To kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new customers a free shot at a $1 million top prize with a total of $4 million up for grabs for Thursday's opener. Getting in on Thursday night's single game showdown is easy. You draft 6 players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So go on and head over under the app now. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at $1 million payday. Download the DraftKings app now and use the code FFF. This week, new customers can also get a free shot at a $1 million top prize and $4 million in total prizes. Enter code FFF to get a free shot at $1 million in top prizes with your first deposit. That's code FFF only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner, the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And a reminder, CSS DFS, Clay Squirrel and Smizzle, our daily fantasy podcast, coming back this Thursday. We are going to not only have an audio product, but this year we're going to stream the entire thing. And it will be available on YouTube after we get done taping it. So we'll be able to share that so you guys can watch the video of the DFS podcast as well with me, Mike Clay, and our buddy Al Zeidenfeld. So if you're into DFS, definitely follow along there.
And where can you find that if you download podcasts? We'll come right into the feed?
Right into the Fantasy Focus Football feed. You don't even need to go anywhere. It's just going to populate right there for you.
That is amazing. Right into the Fantasy Focus Football podcast feed. So earlier in the show, we talked about Le'Veon Bell signing with the Baltimore Ravens, maybe eventually becoming the third string running back on the active roster. But for now, he's on the practice squad. Well, for now, we also know it's the Gus Bus show in Baltimore, as Gus Edwards is the undisputed starting running back going into the season, Matthew. Along those lines, how high does he climb in your rankings in a week one matchup right here on ESPN on Monday Night Football against the Las Vegas Raiders?
I'm at 18. I'm the highest on him among all of our rankers, but I'm worried, honestly, that I'm not high enough.
Interesting.
I think this is a really good match. I think he scores.
Okay.
I'm just gonna call that right now. I think he scores a touchdown. You know, the pass catchers of the Ravens are a bit banged up here. They have behind Gus Edwards, they have an inexperienced guy in Tyson Williams. To your point, Le'Veon Bell is still on the practice squad. Even if they activate him for this game, hard to see him getting into the game other than maybe a play or two. My expectation is that they lean on Gus Edwards in a road game, a Monday Night Football, that he gets a big workload and a good matchup. I think he scores a touchdown. I think he scores at least one. So, honestly, I'm at 18, and I might be too low.
Yeah, I have him at 19. Mike Amez has him at 21. Mike, what I'm most interested in is
why do you hate Gus Edwards?
No. I want to see whether or not they get him involved in the passing game at all this weekend.
Yeah, and that's the concern for me as well with Edwards, which is why we're not higher on him, right? I mean, look at this. You look at Greg Roman. He's the play caller here, and you look at his seven seasons as a play caller in the NFL. Six of his running back units were top 10 in rushing yards and touchdowns. That's pretty telling. Actually, both Baltimore offenses were top six in those categories. None of the seven were top 20 in running back targets. None of them. That is a trend, and we've seen it time and time again with Greg Roman. I don't think that changes this season with J.K. Dobbins out of there, right? There was some swirlings. Maybe they would throw more to that position, but without Dobbins, I don't think that happens. However, we're talking about a lot of positives here, you know, with Gus Edwards. A high-scoring offense, a really good matchup against the Raiders defense. We expect to struggle, certainly, early in the season. And look, Edwards has been really good, right? He's been around since 2018. He went undrafted. He is second in yards per carry at 5.2 in the entire NFL, among running backs, of course, during that span. So some things to like, some things not to like. But in PPR, the lack of targets, it is going to limit him a little bit to more of a mid-range to back-end RB2. Non-PPR, though, I certainly feel a little better about him.
Yeah, the bottom line is if he scores, you're in business. If not, it could be trouble.
Their implied team total is 28 points when you look at the over-unders. And again, we expect them to be up in this game. We expect them to be running. Mm-hmm. Gus Edwards has 9 career games where he's gotten 15 or more touches. In those games, he's averaging over 93 yards a game, over 5 yards per carry. I think he gets a big workload here. I think he scores a touchdown on Monday night. Yeah. It's Vegas. I'm pushing my chips to the middle on that one. Gus Edwards gets into the end zone on Monday night.
All right, so the Rams have a couple of new running backs this year. They've got a potential new starting running back, I should say, and Darrell Henderson, and then also Sony Michel, acquired in a trade earlier this training camp. Would you start either of these players against the Bears in week one, Matthew? A pretty good Bears defense for the most part. And this Rams offense that we think is going to be very, very good with Matthew Stafford under center, but it could be very, very good because they throw for like 5,000 yards and 35 passing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears have always played the Rams tough, it feels like, you know, over the years. And so would I start them? It obviously depends on your options. I have Henderson at 26. I have Sony Michel at 34. So if I'm picking one Rams running back right now, it's Henderson. The expectation here is that Henderson's involved in the passing game here. Again, I have him as a mid-tier flex, so probably not.
Yeah.
See how this play, tough matchup. Let's see how this sort of plays out because we're still not really sure what this rotation's going to look like. We think Henderson over Michel, but to your point, we think Michel gets the goal line work. We think he gets some short yardage stuff. It could be Henderson just as a third down back. So let's see how this plays out. The one thing I'll say on Henderson is that if there's a guy that can break a big play, I think it's more likely to be Henderson than Sony Michel. And if they can't run the ball between the tackles, which certainly, you know, teams have struggled to do that against the Bears previously, then Henderson's much more involved in the passing game. And could they try to do those patented Sean McVay, McVay loves that play where the quarterback rolls out right and the running back rolls the other way and they pass it, you know, against the grain and like just
a throwback screen.
Yeah, throwback screen, yeah. Sorry. Like that's a patented McVay play. Like they'll just try to do different ways to get the ball in Henderson's hand through the passing game.
Yeah, it's a fun play.
Yeah, it's a fun play. It's a staple of his offense. There's a couple of different plays that he uses quite a bit in terms of getting the ball to a running back in space. You saw it a lot with Todd Gurley back in the day. I think you'll see some of it with Henderson on Sunday. So anyway, I have him at running back 26.
I have a really quick question, and I don't want to derail the podcast, but from a strategy standpoint, I just want to ask this because I do think it's interesting or at least important to understand the way that rankings are done.
Yes.
When you're talking about running back 26, and we obviously say like that's a flex play, I think most of the time we would all choose to usually play a wide receiver in the flex over a running back.
In PPR scoring.
And that's like it's not across the board, but most of the time we do that. So when you have a running back at 26 as a flex play, you're more than likely saying you have a wide receiver that you would probably play over top of him, but he's still someone you should consider based on who you've got on your bench. Is that fair to say?
I think that is fair. I mean, Mike has him at 22. You know, you're slightly higher than myself or Field. You're more optimistic?
A little bit. I think that maybe Sony Michel just joining the team is a little bit more limited than usual. Darrell Henderson obviously played at a high level last season, but your concerns are noted and clear. I mean, look, last season there were 7 games Cam Akers didn't play, and Darrell Henderson was out-targeted and out-snapped by Malcolm Brown in those games. So we haven't really seen him be utilized as a feature back in the NFL just yet. So I have some concerns. There's some positives here just because he has a path to a big workload behind a good offensive line and a good offense. They're at home. There are positives. So I could see 15 carries, 17 carries, much like Gus Edwards, and that's why I have them back-to-back. I think they're in a similar situation where the carries could be really good and perhaps not as much in the passing work.
I know we got to move on, but Mike said... Noted, your concerns are noted and clear. He didn't say they are right or warranted or correct.
But then
he said they are noted and clear.
He heard them.
Yes.
He heard them. So let's, by the way, I mean, like, you know, English is my second language. I stumble all over my words. The fact that he was able to decipher my concerns.
Noted and clear. That's a W for
right,
Matthew.
So he heard it. You know, that's a victory.
Well done. Good job.
Let's move on to the wide receivers at this point. And I want to go back to you, Mike. For those that don't know, and I'm not sure how you would not, Mike writes a wide receiver cornerback matchup column every week. And the premise is pretty obvious.
By the way, not only does he write it every week, he invented the premise of it. He's the first person to ever explore that sort of angle in fantasy analysis. It is now widely copied.
Yes.
Often imitated. Never duplicated.
Right. He is the, as I always refer to him as, the OG of the wide receiver
Correct.
Cornerback matchup premise. And Mike, that comes out tomorrow, right?
It's out now. Oh, it actually came out this morning.
Okay,
we're going to talk about it tomorrow on the podcast.
We will talk about it tomorrow on the podcast, but I'm just going to use that to note that I suspect frequently we will be discussing whoever is playing against the Arizona Cardinals, because right now, if you look at their cornerback group, it is a bunch of unfamiliar faces for the most part. Which brings us to Julio Jones, who will be making his Titans debut on Sunday. We're not concerned about A.J. Brown any week. And I'm not sure we're concerned about Julio Jones, but is there a chance, Mike, that a red-hot start is on the horizon for Julio Jones?
Absolutely. You know, he should be relatively fresh. I know he missed some time leading up to the season, but he should be pretty fresh here. He missed a lot of time last year, had the whole offseason. We're going into week one. Should be ready to play a full-time role. And you're right, the matchup is outstanding. Let's expand just slightly on those corners. Top three corners projected here for Arizona. You have Byron Murphy, who's been solid. You know, he's a second-round pick a couple years ago. He's all right. He can play inside and out. But then you have Robert Alford. He has played zero snaps over the past two seasons.
Right.
And Marco Wilson, he's a day three rookie. So,
do you know, what is Marco Wilson most known for up to this point?
I don't know.
Do you recall? Do you recall this?
Yeah, I think it's that his name is Marco.
That is probably the second thing he's most well-known for. But if anybody recalls, last year, Florida and LSU had a game in which a Florida defensive back, after a big play, took the LSU player's cleat and threw it.
I remember that.
And it resulted in a penalty, and LSU ended up winning
the
game.
That was Marco Wilson. Who was that player?
That was Marco Wilson.
Got it.
So, okay. I was able to follow that part.
Oh, right. You got it,
So, yes.
Shoe.
He threw a shoe. It might have been Terrace Marshall's shoe, but I could be wrong on that.
Ooh,
any event. So Marco Wilson, fourth round pick out of Florida, Mike. He's probably the – sounds like he's going to start. So you think a big start could be on tap? Matthew, you feel the same way?
I do. Look, the over-under in this game is 52. It's one of the highest on the board. And Titans are favored by 3. So it should be, you know, it should be a relatively high-scoring, close game. And you could certainly we have high expectations for the Arizona offense. So – you would expect, obviously, that Tennessee's going to have to match fire with fire. I think that Ryan Tannehill, a veteran quarterback, this is one thing that I think doesn't come up enough, and we've discussed it before in the podcast, but I want to bring it up here because I think it's important. I don't think this goes into fantasy analysis enough.
Okay,
I think
me.
Just in general for the industry.
Yep.
I try to put it into my work as much as I can.
Okay.
But I think in general for the industry that not enough emphasis is placed on these are people. Field, you spent time in the front office of two different NFL franchises, so you can speak to this. Like, it's not just numbers and stats. It's not even just film study. The fact of the matter is that these are all people. People with, like any other workplace, they have egos and they have jealousies and there's pettiness and there's politics and there's relationships and good relationships and bad relationships. And so I think Ryan Tannehill, a veteran quarterback, right? And A.J. Brown, remember the offseason, A.J. Brown was like, Julio, all the Instagram posts, Julio, come to Tennessee, trying to get Tennessee. Like, they want Julio to fit in. They want him to be a big part of what they're doing in Tennessee. I think that Ryan Tannehill is going to make it a point to try to get Julio Jones going early and often in this game. And I would even see, I could even see A.J. Brown literally going to Tannehill and saying, like, listen, man, I'll be fine. Don't worry about me. Get it to Julio. You know what I mean? Like, listen, Ryan Tannehill is going to read the coverage and run the plays. But if you're sitting there and you're looking, there are audibles. I mean, I've talked with some of our former, I've talked with Matt and Tim Hasselbeck here about, you know, where they would actively seek out one of the players on their team because they knew they needed to get that guy going early or something like that. Like, this is something that is a thought process that happens in NFL locker rooms. I think this is something that Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel and the entire Titans will say, like, we want Julio to get off to a hot start.
Hey, and if there's ever a good spot to do it, against the Cardinals, because of, as we described, all those inexperienced cornerbacks. So this week, we all, every single one of us who ranks at ESPN, has the same order for the three Bengals wide receivers. T. Higgins, and then Tyler Boyd, and then Ja'Marr Chase. Higgins checks in at 23 for Matthew, 25 for Mike and I, and 26 for Daniel. So Matthew, I'll turn to you here. This is supposed to be a revamped Minnesota defense.
Yeah.
And I think there's a chance it will be a revamped Minnesota defense. But how confident are you that T. Higgins is going to have a big day? Because if last year was any indication, you can throw at will on this Minnesota secondary.
I think the Vikings defense will be improved. I know Mike agrees with that as well. Mm-hmm. But I also think the Bengals defense won't be. And I think this Vikings offense doesn't get a lot of love. But between Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, and Dalvin Cook, they're going to put up a lot of points. And by the way, a bad offensive line with the Bengals, it's Burrow's first game back. Could you see a strip sack fumble? Could you see a defensive touchdown? I think you could. Or, you know, or a turnover deep in Cincinnati territory that Minnesota just cashes in. So my expectation here is that Joe Burrow is going to have to throw quite a bit. Remember, at the time that he was injured, this is a guy that led the NFL in passing attempts. Volume was insane for Cincinnati. And so, and when he's throwing, who's he throwing to? He's throwing to the guys that I know he played college ball with Ja'Marr Chase, but T. Higgins is somebody that is a very good wide receiver who had a lot of success with Burrow last year, week 3 through 10. Remember, Burrow was hurt in week 11, but week 3 through 10, Higgins was the 13th best wide receiver on a points per game basis. Took him a couple games to get going, but then from week 3 on, like, they had a connection, those two guys. Burrow also, by the way, and Boyd had a nice connection as well. So my expectation here is that they're going to have to throw a lot. And we like all these guys, but we rank them Higgins, Boyd, and Chase. But it wouldn't surprise me if any of those guys have a big game in what should be a high-volume passing attack for Cincinnati.
Mike, anything to add there on that one?
No, I'm with you. I do agree that I think T. Higgins will be their clear number one wide receiver early on, much like last year, right? Higgins is the top perimeter guy. Tyler Boyd busy in the slot. You'll see a little more out in Tate early on in the season, probably rotating with Chase out of the gate before they really get Chase up to speed in the NFL. To your point, Minnesota defense, don't even look at the stats from last season. It is a completely different defense on paper. You're going to see a lot of new faces and a lot of better faces, a lot of healthy guys, a lot of guys that missed last season. It's a really upgraded unit, and that includes three of their top four corners, including Patrick Peterson. So that is an upgraded group. But to your point, Matthew, from weeks 2 to 16 last year, he was a part-time player in week 1 and got hurt in week 17, averaged 7.5 targets per game. If he gets into that 7-8 range in this game, he's going to pay off. So, you know, he's a borderline, you know, he was a top 20, we'll say a wide receiver too, most of last season. Yeah. I think he'll be that again here in week 1.
Can't wait to see this matchup. One of the more interesting week 1 matchups. You don't see those two teams play each other frequently. All right, so just like the quarterbacks, top of the tight end position is pretty chalky, right? If you drafted Travis Kelsey or, yep, George Kittle or Darren Waller, Mark Andrews, who recently got paid. Congratulations to you, Mark Andrews. Very, very much well-deserved. And TJ Hawkinson and those types, you're going to play them. So we're
Mark Andrews is going to have a big game Monday night too.
Think so?
I do.
Nice. I agree with that. Let's move on, though, to a player who maybe is drafted inside the top 10 for tight ends. He certainly was one last year. And with tight ends, let's just own this. You generally kind of know. Like, it's one of two categories. You're definitely starting him, or you're starting him and you're hoping for the best. And I think Robert Tonyan,
I mean, you're starting him and hoping for a touchdown. Like, tight ends are either, like, guys who start every week, or, like, they need a touchdown to pay off.
Yeah.
They're touchdown-dependent tight ends.
So, Robert Tonyan was that almost literally every week, sure, last year, it felt like. He had 11 touchdowns last season on just 52 catches, so over 20% of his catches went for a score. What's your confidence level that he will keep the hot streak rolling in week 1 against New Orleans?
Not great. I mean, Tonyan was, specifically last year, a touchdown dependent tight end. The benefit was that he kept scoring.
Yeah, he just kept,
I mean, he had 11 touchdowns last,
yeah,
year. Like, I mean, he was a machine, but he was, like, I want to say off the top of my head, and Kyle can correct me if I have this wrong, but I believe last year among tight ends, Robert Tonyan was 22nd in targets.
It sounds about,
I mean,
right.
I mean, like, he was,
look at,
oh,
the,
there you go, yeah.
Not the same stat, but just a ridiculous stat all the same. 52.5% of Tonyan's points last year came on touchdowns alone.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was, he was, he was, he, the amount of touchdowns he had relative to the amount of volume he got was skewed.
Right.
And I know, you know, Mike always does OTD, you know, is and I don't want to, Mike, you can talk about this better, but mm-hmm. I believe Tonyan was one of your cover boys for somebody that will regress touchdown wise this year. Tonyan would be like he, you know, so my expectation is that I don't think he, and Mike, you can follow on this, but I'll mm-hmm. just say my expectation is that his volume does not increase this year, right? That, you know, Rodgers is back. They have Devontae Adams. I know they got Randall Cobb now back in the slot, so they have another guy that Aaron Rodgers made a point of, like, you need to get Randall Cobb back here. So another guy in the middle of the field for A-Rod. And so I don't think the volume increases for Tonyan, but I do think the touchdowns decrease. And so I have him at 12 against a tough Saints defense who, by the way, just improved their secondary earlier today.
Trading for Bradley Roby from the yeah. Houston Texans, correct? So we'll see. He won't be able to play this week because of a suspension, but
right.
In future weeks, he will certainly correct. Be a useful part of that secondary. Mike, you are the regression king here mm-hmm. at ESPN. Is there a more obvious regression candidate? And regression goes both ways. Players can regress to the mean, either in a positive or negative fashion. Would you expect that Robert Tonyan experiences some negative regression this year?
Yes, he will. He's the poster boy for regression to the mean this season. No question about it. His touchdown rate, his 88% catch rate, you name it. And check this out. How about this first stat? 59 targets last season. That is fewest by a top 12 tight end over the past 12 seasons. That wow. shows you how unlikely it was that he did what he did last season. 3.7 targets per game. Never had more than 6 in a game. That has to go up, right? I mean, you cannot make decisions based on the fact that he's going to keep up anything close to that efficiency last season. It was borderline historic in a lot of departments. It will come down. We need more targets this season from Robert Tonyan. For me, he is what he's been all offseason. He's a borderline tight end one. You know, so if you have him, he's probably your best option. But, you know, we got to get more volume, guys. We need more targets.
We yeah. certainly do for Robert Tonyan. A good player. There are just so many mouths to feed in that Green Bay offense.
Yeah, last year, if you remove his touchdown receptions, he averaged 5.2 fantasy points per game.
Yikes.
He was literally the definition of a touchdown-dependent tight end. Luckily for Tonyan and his managers last year, he kept scoring, but we don't expect that same kind of volume in the end zone this year.
Fantasy Focus Football is brought to you by Gumout. To get peak performance, a lot of people try the latest techniques, technology, and even ingredients. When it comes to performance enhancement for your car, the most exciting development is Gumout with Carbon Clear. Carbon Clear is potent. It's the most advanced fuel additive on the market. It's also their newest technology. Think of it like this. You're evolving your stat tracking, right? Mike's got OTD. It's not just catches and yards and touchdowns. We're talking targets, yak, DVOA, OTD. Mike probably has a new stat he's going to think of by the end of the show. That's why he's the best. But why not evolve your car's performance just like you evolve the stats? In fact, cars on Gumout get better engine performance, increased fuel efficiency, and lower emissions. It only takes 2 minutes to pour Gumout into a gas tank, so it's quick and easy to use. And it's not hard to find. You can get it at mass retailers or your local auto parts store. So what are you waiting for? Get your car running right with Gumout now with Carbon Clear, performance enhancement for your car.
Fields fantasy football season is right around the corner, as in tomorrow night. That means more of what you love, the teams, the rivalries, the stats, and trash talking friends. I only have like three friends, as you can see by my shirt. Your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, Baker Mayfield, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash talking points you need. Hey, this fall, great time to up your game as well. Body Armor has got you covered. Everybody focused on staying active and healthy. Hydration, of course, an important part of that. It's more than just a sports drink, right? It is made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants. There are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. It's one of the reasons my kid loves it as well. And now through December 31st, you can buy any one Body Armor product, just one, upload your receipt at bafootballtailgate.com. Again, that's bafootballtailgate.com. And you're going to be entered for a chance to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate. There's no purchase necessary. It's void where prohibited, and it's open to residents of U.S. 18 and older.
All right, time now for us to get to the next segment of the show, which is questions that we still have as the season right. is just minutes away yeah. from starting tomorrow night. I guess hours would be a more
one question I have is, who do you think my three people are?
I thought you gave us the answer.
I did, but I'm just curious who you. It changes every day. Changes every day.
Daniel Jones.
Stop it.
Right.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And Dak Prescott.
I do love Jalen Hurts this year. Yeah. I drafted Dak Prescott last night.
I did a weird thing.
I was in the Stephen A. Smith League. You know, so we did that. We did the, and we'll be talking about it on Stephen A.'s World on ESPN Plus. Shout out to ESPN Plus. Shout out to rotopass.com, by the way, which is a way that you can get ESPN Plus and read like Mike's wide receiver cornerback matchup column.
Do you have
a
promo code for that, Matthew?
06010 gets you 10% off.
Okay, 10%?
Got it. So 10% off of rotopass.com where you get ESPN Plus and five other great sites.
Matthew,
it's an amazing bargain.
If I've already done my draft and I sign up for Rotopass now, do I still get it for the 12 months consecutively,
yes,
or is
it
only
is 12 months? So you get it all for next preseason.
Oh, interesting.
And there's all sorts of in-season management tools in terms of helping you figure out what trades to make, what waiver wire ads to make. There's DFS lineup optimizers as well for people who play DFS.
Sure.
All sorts of great stuff.
You can text you, right?
And yes, that's yes. You can yes.
Is that part of RotoPass?
It's not part of RotoPass. Just if people want to, if you want to text me, my phone number's on my Twitter handle. So yes.
867 How do you not get texts all day?
Stop
then?
It.
I, you know.
He does.
I do.
He does.
I mean, have you not seen me looking at my phone like constantly during the commercial breaks? Yeah,
Matthew,
my phone blows
down.
Up.
Matthew, put your phone down.
Exactly. My phone blows up. You know this.
All right, so let's talk.
So anyway, but I was just going to say, I thought this was interesting. I'm in the, so we did a league. We did a 10-team celebrity league for Stephen A's World, and we're going to be talking about it on his show starting tomorrow and like every week. Okay. And Stephen A. Smith played fantasy for the first time, which was great. He was my one person to invite that was played. I went running back in the first round. First two rounds, wound up with Eckler and Gibson, my ride or die, and Antonio Gibson, who I love. Got Kittle in the third. Came back around in the fourth, the best wide receiver available was CeeDee Lamb.
Great.
Right, yeah, exactly. One of Fields' favorites. Came back around in the fifth, and the best available wide receiver was Amari Cooper. So I'm like, all right. And then I came around in the sixth, and there'd been a quarterback run, but Dak was still out there. And I'm like, whatever, let's go. How about them Cowboys? So I went Dak. I don't know what I just thought that would be a fun experiment just to see what that's like in a season-long. I mean, stacking is always something you do in best ball, in DFS, but in a season-long sort of 10-team league, I thought that was kind of an interesting thought experiment. I don't know if you or Mike have any.
Totally into it. I mean, I think you have two top 20 wide receivers, two top 12 running backs, and a top 5 quarterback.
I'm only not into it because it's against your rooting interest for your Washington football team. Like you picked the one rival.
It's win-win, lose-lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. That's what I did in Scott Fishbowl. That was my path to trying to win that thing, like a big tournament, right? And look, that's the Dallas offense. We've talked about this all offseason. Should be the highest volume offense in the NFL. So get yourself a good quarterback, two potential. Look, if you made a short list of teams that could have two top 12 fantasy receivers this year, Dallas is on that list without question with Lamb and Cooper.
I also, knowing Stephen A's long-standing relationship with the Cowboys and Cowboys fans, and knowing that we'd be talking about the league every week on a show, I thought this might make for some fun content.
That's fun.
Well done by
you. I'm excited about it. Listen, Stephen A was great last night. I'm really excited about this league. And
you said it's a surprise.
Well, just, you know what I mean? Like he'd never done it before. I have, not to derail the podcast, but I'll just say this. Every year I do two things, right? Every year I say, I've already done it. Whatever. I always ask people to invite one person that's never played fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, I've known Stephen A for a decade, and I have asked him every single year to try fantasy football. Because he is one of, if not the star of ESPN. He's a massive celebrity. And getting somebody like Stephen A to embrace the game and talk about it and it would be great. And just knowing his personality, you know, the frustrations and the joys of fantasy football, I think he would really enjoy it. You know what I mean? And I think it would be great. And I think his fans would enjoy seeing him do that. And he's never wanted to do it until this year. He came to me and said, I'm ready. Let's do a fantasy league. So I was just like, he's like, can you get me a league? I'm like, Stephen, I can get you a league. And so I'm excited about it. So
nice.
And I just think it's great for the fantasy football industry. Anytime somebody that has a platform as large as Stephen A's embraces it, it's good for the game. And so I'm just excited about that. And he was all over his Instagram talking about it, you know, today and last night. And so anyway, I'm excited about this.
I'm looking forward to him and Michael Irvin doing 8 minutes on Stephen A's matchup every Monday morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in for good spirited TV. Let's get to the questions that we still have as we are just about ready to start the NFL regular season. And I grabbed the low-hanging fruit, and I did it because one of us was going to have to do it. And to me, there is no question bigger as we get to the NFL season than Saquon Barkley's health and what he's going to look like this year. At Saquon Barkley's best, and we know this for a fact, it happened during his rookie season, he is the best player in fantasy football, and he could literally finish as the highest scoring running back, maybe the highest scoring player in fantasy. However, it feels unlikely he'll reach that plateau given the fact that he is currently still getting better from an ACL tear. The Giants have talked about having the bigger picture in mind this year with Saquon Barkley. But what we don't know is that if he's not going to end up as RB1, where is he going to finish? Because if he finishes as somewhere between RB2 and RB6, none of us should be surprised. But we play in the War Room League, Matthew. I have pick 14. I think there's a chance, not a good one, but a chance that Saquon is still there. I think a lot of people are extremely nervous and hoping that somebody else takes Saquon Barkley ahead of them in their drafts. He is the ultimate mystery going into this season.
He really is. I will tell you, and I know Mike is going to cringe at this, but I'll just own this. So last night in this Stephen A. league, I had picked 7. It's a 10-team league, and Barkley was still there for me in the second.
Wow.
Eckler fell to me at 7. You know, he's my ride or die, and I followed my ranks. But Barkley was there to me in the second. And I just like, and then I just said, you know what? I don't have nearly enough Antonio Gibson. I'm just whatever. This is a fun league. I'm going to go with my heart. And I took Antonio Gibson over Saquon Barkley, which is probably the dumb fantasy move. But I'm all in on Antonio Gibson. He's one of my favorite players. It's for my favorite team. It's a fun league. So I passed. And the guy picking after me, Stephen A. Smith. So here's Stephen A. got Zeke and Saquon Barkley for start it because he makes me nervous. Like, as we talked about, one of my chicken players.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure that was a massive mistake. And I'm sure 5 weeks from now, I'll be like, what was I thinking passing on Saquon for Gibson? But I went with my heart instead of my head.
So what was your question then going in? Now that Saquon's been accounted for, what is your one question that you still have going into the year?
I think it's backfield usage, right? I mean, I think we still have a lot of places. I think there's a lot of unsettled backfield usage. Like we just talked earlier in the show about the Rams, Henderson and Sony Michel. We don't know exactly how that's going to play out. Do we think New England is all Damian Harris? Or is it more Patriot stuff where we see some Stevenson in there and James White as well? Miami, and you know, Miles Gaskin and Malcolm Brown, how does that shake out? And Savon Ahmed, does he get mixed in? We think DeAndre Swift is going to be the starter, but how much does Jamal Williams play? We expect a legitimate role for him. Atlanta, is Mike Davis the guy, you know, or does Wayne Gallman get more work than we think?
Well,
what's
Atlanta
it look like in
TV
Buffalo? What about Jacksonville? Carlos Hyde played a number of snaps with the first team. Like, I don't think James Robinson gets the same kind of volume. So what kind of volume does James Robinson get in Jacksonville? So I think there's just a lot of unsettled backfields that I'm looking forward to seeing sort of how the playing time plays out.
I officially like Latavius Murray to Atlanta, by the way. That'd be a nice compliment to Mike Davis.
Right?
I've just decided that in this moment right now. Mike, what's your one question going into the season?
Well, I'll tell you one that's not. It's Saquon Barkley because I drafted him on like all of my teams this year. So
yeah, you're all in on Saquon Barkley.
I'm in denial. He's good. He's good to go.
Right.
Nothing to worry about there.
You must have cringed when you heard me say I took Gibson over Barkley.
Now, look, I love Gibson too. You know, we're going to talk more about him shortly. Yep. So I do love Gibson. If there was a guy, you know, you're going to go that direction with, fine. But yeah, I've been taking Barkley quite a bit, hoping for the best there. If he struggles, I'm going to be in trouble this season in a lot of leagues. But my big question mark is second year quarterbacks. You know, you think about, I think we all kind of know Justin Herbert's the real deal. Joe Burrow, we'll see, missed a lot of time last season. Tua Tagovailoa as well in Miami with a better supporting cast, but especially Jalen Hurts, because how often do you see non-first round quarterbacks as franchise quarterbacks for a long time in the NFL? It's a very, very short list. You could talk about Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott and Tom Brady and who else? I mean, that's it. That's basically the list. So can Jalen Hurts be that next guy? It's going to be really intriguing to see. The guy can run the ball so well. Low completion percentage last year, but he was super aggressive, which was part of the reason for that. Has a better supporting cast than he did down the stretch last season. So super intrigued to see what Jalen Hurts does this season.
Daniel, your thoughts on your one question as we get to the season?
My one question is, will Miles Gaskin be able to hold off Malcolm Brown enough to be more than just a flex play this season? I really love Miles Gaskin this year, especially after everything that he did last year. He's a fantastic pass catcher. You look at what he did the final 6 weeks that he was active. He was a top 20 running back every single one of those weeks. I love what this kid has and what he can bring. And I think this offense is going to be much improved. So from that standpoint, I think I'm just really excited to be able to see what Miles Gaskin can do this year.
Some people think he's a sleeper. We'll see. Malcolm Brown figures to have some role in Miami. But as we have discussed, as Mike told us once, Cream rises. Believe that Miles Gaskin will eventually be the man in Miami. Time now for us to get to our bold calls brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. And here's the premise. It's a bold call. I don't think I need to explain it, but it's something that we're not necessarily certain about, but something that we have kind of an inkling on.
Not something we're saying will happen, but we think it's with, it. But would, yeah, and it's not within expected to happen, but it's something that we think is within the realm of possibility. Yep. And that we, yeah, that we feel strongly about.
So for me, Jonathan Taylor, the Colts running back, will lead the NFL in both rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. Up into the vein of 1,400 rushing yards and 15 wow. rushing touchdowns. A monster season for an incredible second-year player.
Wow. That is bold.
Mm-hmm. Spicy.
My bold call. Are we reacting to you, or are we just going on to our own bold calls?
You know what we should do? We should do like a, like a spice meter, right? Like, how bold is it?
I think that's pretty spicy, because I'm nervous about Taylor. Does Taylor get the same volume he did last year with a healthy Marlon Mack? Yeah. And by the way, if the Colts fall behind, is it Nyheim Hines or Jonathan Taylor? Now they used Taylor more in the passing game last year than
I think
people expected.
He is,
but could they use Hines? Do they spread it around a little bit? Like, in order for him to lead the NFL in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns, he's going to need obviously a lot of volume. No one questions the talent, but does he get the volume he needs to get there? So that would be my question.
Okay, your take.
On yours. Mine is, you just heard Mike Clay talk about Jalen Hurts. Mine is Jalen Hurts finishes the year as the number one quarterback in fantasy.
Ooh, okay? Wow, spicy.
Look, he was a top last year, just trying to find the field behind a beat-up offensive line and with AAF superstar Greg Ward as his best receiver. Literally, like, his starting wide receivers his first game was Jalen Reagor in his eighth NFL game ever and Greg Ward, right. Former college quarterback, AAF superstar Greg Ward. Like, he and a coaching staff that, by the way, was fighting with the front office, and like the whole thing was a disaster in Philadelphia. Mike knows this all too well. So now he comes in with a new coaching staff that is like, they were like, Nick Sirianni, you need to make Jalen Hurts work. We're not drafting a quarterback. Not worried about Gardner Minshew. I'm not worried about Joe Flacco. Jalen Hurts is the guy. Ninth best quarterback in fantasy over the final four games. His final four games, if you compare him with the final four games of Lamar Jackson's rookie year in 2018, he compares favorably across the board. Almost every stat. Better offensive line this year. Much better offensive line. Added weapons. Devonta Smith, I think, is going to be a real boon to that Eagles offense. A whole offseason to come in knowing he's the guy on offense designed around him. The rushing and the passing. Again, Lamar Jackson, after that 2018, ended up being the number one quarterback in fantasy in the MVP. I'm just saying, this is my bold call. Jalen Hurts, number one quarterback in fantasy.
Mike, wow. What do you got?
I'm going with the one I've stuck with the entire offseason, which is Antonio Gibson will be the number one scoring fantasy running back.
Spicy.
Look, this guy. Yeah, look. This guy last season, 13 full games played, 47% of the snaps. Not even half the snaps for this guy. He had 33 carries in college. He looked like he was a polished NFL runner last year at 11 touchdowns, was already a borderline running back one, and now we expect him. I mean, look, he worked out with the receivers at the combine before last season. We know he has that in the arsenal. I expect him to be utilized more as a pass catcher this season. We know he could run it. That is a really good defense. It's going to be plenty of opportunities for him to run the football. Really excited for Gibson, and I think the sky's the limit for his fantasy output. RB1, that's what I'm going with.
There you have it. Okay, I like it. Daniel Dopp, your turn.
All right, mine is
spicy take.
Laviska Shenault is going to finish as a top 15 wide receiver. I wanted so badly to figure out how to get him inside the top 10, but the top 10 of wide receivers is just so stinking stacked.
Yeah.
But I love Laviska Shenault. He's a guy that's being drafted outside the top 30 right now, but you look at every year for the last 5 years, there's been a wide receiver drafted outside the top 30 that has finished inside the top 15, and usually there are multiple wide receivers that do it, both Will Fuller and Justin Jefferson as examples for last year. I love Laviska Shenault in this offense with Lawrence under center. I think he's going to be the guy that's going to take over as the number one pass catcher in that Jacksonville Jaguars offense.
Yeah, I think that's possible. The big question I have for Laviska, because in order to be a top 10 wide receiver, you probably have to have some serious touchdown upside.
Yeah.
And with the way that they have been utilizing him, not just last year, but from what we saw this year in an entirely new offense, still a lot of stuff at or near the line of scrimmage. So there's going to be a ton of yards after catch opportunities. But to get to that top 10 or top 15, I just hope there are ways they find some more touchdown opportunities for him. Daniel, what do you got?
We're going to close out with two quick social questions, if you guys don't
sure,
mind.
Sure, why not? Let's do it.
This first one comes from Joe. It says, would Mike consider? Let me turn around here.
Oh, me.
All right. And this is, these are people that have tweeted at Fantasy Focus,
at
our Twitter
Fantasy
handle.
Focus, correct. Would Mike consider benching Allen Robinson versus Jalen Ramsey? How bold do you get with wide receiver cornerback?
Well, I just wrote about that in my column. So
did
you head over to ESPN Plus and there's a full breakdown. But my short answer is probably not. You know, if you drafted this guy as a borderline wide receiver one, what are the odds that you have three or maybe even four if you start three receivers in a flex? Better wide receivers. It's pretty low. This guy is still super talented. Even if Ramsey shadows him often in this game, it probably won't be close to 100%, maybe like 60, 70%. He'll have some opportunities in this game. And yes, there's a big bust chance relative to usual, but the guy is too good to put on your bench. Start Allen Robinson.
Okay. This last question comes from Kurt. Aaron Jones or Austin Eckler in the first round of my PPR draft tonight? Matthew Berry.
Austin Eckler.
Is that Kurt your friend?
No, it's not.
Okay.
We've already done all of our drafts together.
Cowboy Kurt?
It's Cowboy Sam.
Cowboy Sam.
Kurt the audio guy.
But Kurt's who's worked with us. He's done a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
I have
them right next to each other. Yeah. I have Eckler at six, Aaron Jones at seven, so I don't think you can go wrong, but if you're asking me, I say Eckler.
Is one of them your ride or die, Matthew?
Eckler is my ride or die.
Yeah.
He is one of the three people I like.
There you have it. All right, and with that,
he's like a fantasy football version of a margarita.
So is what Austin Eckler is.
All right, yeah. Great show today. Thanks as always to Mike for joining us. We'll see him again tomorrow and plenty throughout the season. Great job.
How would you do, Austin Eckler, Aaron Jones? Where do you have him ranked?
Austin Eckler.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I think it's around the horn.
Austin Eckler.
Yeah, pick your favorite team. I mean, they're right next to each other,
yeah.
right?
So yeah, but yeah. would you? I'm just
fine
curious.
With Eckler. Yeah, I'm fine with Eckler. Love Eckler. Yeah, it's both are good. Green Bay
you have higher in your personal rank.
Pick one.
Yeah,
just
do
pick
it, Mike.
One.
I don't want to.
Stinking pick one.
All right, this show's about to fight off
pick
in like
Aaron
5 seconds.
There I'll you go. The other way.
We're back tomorrow previewing Bucks and Cowboys and wide receiver cornerback matchup for Mike, Matthew, and Daniel. I'm Field. Talk to you tomorrow.
Peace out.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat,